This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
How do I love thee?
Let me count your teeth.
Happy All Smiles Eve, Desert Bluffs.
Hey, babes, I've got a big smile. My name's Symphony.
Hey, babes, I've got a big butt. My name is Meg.
Hi, my name is Hal. Big time. And we are the hosts of Good Morning Night Vale, the show where three actors from Welcome to Night Vale listen to Welcome to Night Vale, talk about Welcome to Night Vale, go behind the scenes of Welcome to Night Vale, and then hear from you, the listeners, about your fan theories, thoughts, and comments about, you guessed it, Welcome to Night Vale. And we are here on Thursday, the 4th of August, the year 2022 of our flying spaghetti monster, holding up a virtual newspaper headline so you can see the date. And this is episode 120, All Smiles Eve.
The episode description is a happy celebration of a happy holiday story from a desert otherworld. Let's talk about it.
Here we are.
Kevin.
All Smiles Eve. It feels weird to be talking about All Smiles Eve in August, but here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are.
It's the nature of it.
You know, I think you can celebrate All Smiles Eve and the smiling God at any time of year. Truthfully.
It's like,
If you really are devout.
Yeah, there's Christmas in July. This is All Smiles Eve in August when we're recording it.
Yeah. I mean, two, it's got an A in it, you
an
know,
S.
So maybe.
That's it. That's the only thing they share. That's enough.
I was trying to think. I was like, how do you spell it?
But yeah, we take a break from our trilogies series to have a holiday episode, which is another sort of series of episodes. Night Vale does a holiday episode, I think, every year, and they're all excellent and deeply disturbing.
Yeah, this is a deeply disturbing episode. As it always is when we bring in the Desert Bluffs, we bring in Kevin and Lauren and have them talk to one another. It gets real, real uncomfortable real fast.
I mean, but it's also a special time where you get insight on another part of Night Vale or another part of the world of Night Vale that is so near and dear to so many people's hearts. I mean, think of all, when we've gone on tour, think of how many Kevins we've seen, and unknowingly also perhaps Lawrence, but people who really enjoy either the Smiling God or Kevin in particular. And I, as we've said before, Kevin R. Free is a delightful, wonderful person. I don't really know Lauren as a person, so I can't, I'm sure she's lovely, but Kevin is the sweetest person. And I really enjoy him as a person. And also, it's fun to just hear their banter. I thought Lauren was dead, though, to be honest with you, for some reason.
No, they're just in the revival of desert. They're in Desert Bluffs, too, in the desert otherworld.
Yeah. They seem to be creating a little community for themselves that is celebrating, like, some of their neighbors, including that person who made a cactus out of teeth.
Oh, my God. That is so creepy. A 20-foot-tall tooth tree.
Ugh. I'm imagining that you would glue the tops of the teeth to stuff, and then the roots are coming out. That would be the pokey spines. You know? Don't you think?
I do think. I think that's how it would be.
I think the other way around. I think of the teeth as sticking out as, like, the little bristles on a Douglas fir. So it's just, it just looks like cascading layers of teeth.
But only the canines are like pointy like that. The rest of your teeth are kind of flat.
No, it's gross. Like, it is a grotesque, like, you know, they're, I'm trying to think of the way to say this. Sometimes I go to like, when I go to like a rich desert community out here in California, and someone's got the yard full of metal sculptures, some of them are good and some of them are maybe purposefully kind of grotesque. Like, there's a grotesqueness sure. to them. And I get, when I think of a tree made of teeth, I think they're like trying to emulate the shape of a tree but with all these different teeth, and it's kind of a mess, and the teeth are dirty, and it's because everything in Desert Bluffs is this weird like Frank Donnelly setting all those gasoline cans on fire, and they melt away and just pour hot plastic on the people below. So people are being tortured by having hot plastic poured on them, and Kevin's like, oh, that's wonderful. Right. Like, that's the game of it. So I just it makes me think of the most grotesque possible tooth tree you could have.
Well, let us know on Twitter. Do you think it's tooth out or root out?
Use the hashtag of your choice.
Hashtag tooth cactus. Cactus teeth.
Cactus teeth. Yeah, this episode is completely chock full of just disturbing imagery. Mm-hmm. It is the, like, absolutely. What if we, you know, wrote 2,000 words of the most disturbing body horror things we possibly could come up with and make it our holiday episode and deliver it with just a smile and just two very kind people just talking to you about and very excitedly telling you the story of All Smiles Eve.
It's so menacing.
It's so menacing.
And I think very individual to Night Vale as well. I mean, occasionally you'll get in horror, you'll get some more cheerful monsters, I guess. But like, generally, like, you won't have like a town of people that are like full on crazy, you know, thinking that's hilarious that someone's getting plastic poured on them. Or constructing some sort of tooth tree. Because where did they get the teeth from?
Exactly. From, like, this is the same holiday where they have a story about a family who has a half-dead cat that they've adopted. When they found it decomposing on their lawn. They found it decomposing.
Mr. Doodles. And they brought it in.
And they brought it into their home. And...
Mr. Doodles. That was like one of my favorite parts.
Oh, well, then he becomes a quarter cat. Not to jump ahead, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm imagining that it goes, they said front half. So head, paws, mm-hmm. half the body.
Yes.
Right. So we're just missing the hind, like a little bit of the belly, the hind, and the tail. Right. So then a quarter, is it just the head?
Or is it half?
Yeah, like bisected.
Bisected, yeah.
Oh.
What's the most disturbing version you can imagine? That's what it is.
Bisected.
Yeah. Probably bisected. Yeah, that would probably be grosser. Cool. But then they interrupt the story multiple times with also very disturbing little things about like, oh, here's like gifts you can get or things used to, oh, foods. Mm. The boiling caramel thing.
They'd stuff it in their faces.
There's the reoccurring.
But they poured it into the cup.
Like the reoccurring melting things happening. So there's the caramel. There's the melting plastic. And then there's the acid burn. Mm-hmm. So there's just like skin. Ugh.
I'm also, because those are also very different things. So like when you get, even when you, if you were to get that sort of burn when you were a kid, like boiling hot sugar and cream, right? On your hands. So you already have like mm-hmm. third degree burns, right? On your hands mm-hmm. initially. So then Kevin grows up and then he's like getting, she sprays him with this cologne. I was imagining on his wrist or something. Right? Yeah. She says, and he's saying his skin was burning. And I was like, so then do you think it bubbled
probably
up?
Didn't heal. Yeah. It's just,
it's like Freddy Krueger. I'm thinking it's like Freddy Krueger underneath, you know?
By the way, the story that he breaks Gross. Into after talks about his happy memories of the caramel, that talks about finding a starling that's head had been crushed by a car tire, the rear leg still twitching, and then he watched it until it stopped. Like he watched the last of its life slip away and then comes back into, like, has that moment of like, that's the like the little underbelly that you get to see, including the, I still don't know who killed that starling. And then, right. And then the snapping back. Yeah. They do it so well. Kevin, they're both very talented. I'm speaking of Kevin because I know him and have broken bread with him and hung out with him and shared a stage with him. But it, like the way they both handle those turns are really, really good. They're both very skilled. Yeah.
Well, because, and then Lauren talking about the weird radish paste
just
thing.
Just peel a radish.
Just a bowl of radish paste.
Because it's just like smashed up radishes, which I love radishes, but I'm not trying to just like blend it up radishes. Radishes are a dipping item. You put other things onto a radish. You're not dipping stuff into radish. Also, radishes can be a bit spicy. Not very spicy, but has like a more. I don't think that would be
that's
good
more
as
with
a
the
dip.
Root, though. You have to have the root, don't you, for to get the spice or no?
Like some fresh radishes are a little not spicy, but yeah. More like has the similar to like a little peppery.
I've had some very spicy radishes. Like, my CSA gives me very spicy radishes. Mm. Radishes are a bit watery, so it's like they're not going to. You don't want to dip. It's like a watery. Texture. Yeah. It's a texture nightmare is what it is. There's a lot of texture nightmare in this episode. So, but yeah, talking about Lauren Sharp, it's been a while, but we worked together a bunch for a bit and she's terrific. She really is. Great actor, great performer, talented. She's a ballerina for years. Very funny, very thoughtful, understands movement on stage in a great way. She's a mom of twins. She's, Lauren Sharp's great. Great human. I miss working with her. We worked at the Neo Futurist together. And then, she's a Neo Futurist. Just as you're either a Thrilling Adventure Hour person, went to college with Cecil, or you're a Neo Futurist. That's how you work on Night Vale.
That's it. That's how you do it. Anybody who's wondering out there, like an actor is like, how do I get involved? Well, first get a time machine. Then
go back like 8 to 10 years.
First, go back, kill Hitler.
Yep.
First, start there. Kill Hitler. Baby Hitler gone.
Kill that pangolin. at the wet market.
Kill the pangolin. Oh, no. Yeah, kill that pangolin in the wet market. But also, like, it speaks to, whatever kind of art, whatever you do, it always behooves you to find a community of people and collaborate with people and get to know them and have them get to know you and create stuff together because those relationships last and doesn't mean you're all going to be in each other's stuff all the time, but it does mean that when you go through your Rolodex for someone, you know this group of talented people who can do a bunch of different things and then you call upon them and wonderful things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Friendship, art, all food. Sorts of things. Creepy, weird stuff.
Bubbling probably. Colognes and weird stories about weird cultist stories for the holidays about a family that's just tortured just consistently.
Well, this family sounds interesting, this family unit. Two moms, one dad, a little boy and a little girl, right? Three dogs.
And then quarter of a cat.
And then half a cat. Right. But that's how they started off. The thing that's weird about the boy, Jason, with the stick or the banister or whatever.
Are you dressed up?
He's dressing it up like himself. That's wrong. You're not supposed to do that. He has no other friends. He doesn't have any other toys. Where are the parents? Why are they letting him walk around with this stick? Jason, the stick. And Jason, the boy. Don't seem right. Just don't seem right. That's what I'm going to say about it.
It's a very troubling episode.
What's your favorite holiday dish?
Oh, wait, really? Mashed potatoes.
Dressing. The dressing that my mother-in-law made that I've been chasing the dragon of for 17 years.
Did she tell you what was in it?
Yeah, she gave the recipe. Like, she's not. She's like, here's how you make it, and then I can call her for tip. I've called her several times for just general kitchen tips and especially for making stuff.
So you've made it.
Probably 6 or 7 times, maybe more. No, more. And it's good. It's very good, but it's just never the same as the time that she made it. And I've had it from other members. It's Jennifer's grandmother's recipe, and I've had her version, which is also very good. But just – it might be the experience of having it for the first time, but also it's – there are a ton of incredible cooks on that side of the family, and I just want to learn and – I want to learn all – we have a bunch of recipes from her family, but that's the one that I just want to make all the time because I love it so much. Now I'm thinking maybe I should make it.
So it just hits different when she makes it.
Special.
So. Okay. Yeah. I feel that. That's how I'm about – that was about my mom's greens. Like, I keep thinking, I'm like, I can – I've seen her make them. I saw her make them, like, a million times. Like, I should be able to make them like that. But I don't know. It's going to take some trial and error. But once I capture the essence – it's love, Hal. I think it's love is the ingredient thing I'm seeing.
It is love. It's figuring out I'm a husk of a human is the problem. I look at it and I feel nothing, and yet I look forward to eating it because that's how I survive.
Eating will fill one hole inside you.
One hole, only the front one. And later on, I can use a hose to take care of the other hole, apparently. We haven't talked about that in a while. Where's APL? Where are you, APL? I need you.
God damn it.
I need you, APL.
It's been 0 days. God damn it, Hal.
Help us, APL. You're my only hope.
It's been 0 days. You're Beetlejuice saying. APL right now.
You're ruining things.
You fought alongside my father in the rebellion.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, the gifts. One was the acid cologne. Someone was saying, I think Kevin said, you could like make someone a sweater, which is what I always imagine him wearing, by the way, Kevin. And then another one was buy them a dog. And do not buy people dogs for Christmas.
Don't buy a dog. They have ones that are...
Right.
You know, you don't need to buy... Well, I guess you need to probably, like, you know, pay the fee or whatever.
For rent.
But never purchase a dog. And don't... Especially not as a gift.
Yeah, I mean, I've got ones...
Yeah.
Right, not as a gift. Like, they're not a gift. Like, people need to make that choice that they are ready to be pet parents because it is a big responsibility... I apparently have very strong feelings about this. It is a big responsibility to be a pet owner and especially to be a dog owner because dogs need a lot of attention and care. And if you do not, if you're not willing or ready for that sort of commitment, you know, you shouldn't be gifting people dogs. But if it's, I mean, if the person wanted the dog this whole time and you knew that and they just haven't been able to pull the trigger, it costs a lot of money, like they want a specific dog, maybe I'll
cut them a check.
But I don't know. Be careful. Don't.
You need to bond with the dog. You need to go, whether you're adopting, whether you're like, no matter how you're acquiring a dog, you need to spend time with them and establish a bond and see sort of what's going on there. Because otherwise, it's a bad situation for everybody.
Yeah. Now, obviously, we have strong feelings about buying people dogs. How do you feel about the coupon books?
With the entertainment coupon books?
You're shaking your head no, man.
Because anytime, as someone who's giving it, you never expect anyone to cash in on it. Yeah. And as someone who's getting it,
you mean like,
you're never going to be able to use them because people are going to be like, nah, you know, it's just, it's an arts and crafts project is what it really is. It's not.
I mean, I shouldn't have to ask you to do the dishes. It's just like a duty that we should do. Like one of, I don't know, that is not my strong suit. So I either use a dishwasher or if the person wants to wash dishes, fine.
Yeah, those don't get used.
But like, back massage, that's going to lead to doing it.
I mean, that's what they all lead to.
Just a coupon for doing it.
Washing dishes.
They're all supposed to, I'll wash the dishes and then we'll do it. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink, wink.
The back rub is, I mean.
Back rub, foot rub, like whatever. It's never like, I'll go take your dry cleaning. Or I'll pick up the groceries.
You know what I miss more than anything?
You should do that anyway. What?
Is massages. I haven't had a massage since probably 2019.
Oh.
I would like to get a massage. I like to go to outdoor massage place. It's always a million degrees here. Where's the outdoor massage?
I got an outdoor massage when I was on vacation. Joseph and I got an outdoor couples massage.
Oh, we did that. We did that once, but I couldn't stop talking to my masseuse. Because I always feel I just feel bad. Like, you got to massage me. At least I could, like, maybe chat you up a little bit. Like, see how you're doing. Feel like I don't want you to I have a weird thing of, like, I don't want you to feel like you're just here to give me a massage.
How they are.
That's their job.
But I want you to feel like, oh, I care about you as well. I appreciate that you're here.
They don't need that, I don't think, from you.
I will tell you, you know who that's not fun for? The other half of the couple's massage. Who's trying to relax. There's like this like bling, 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 bling. And I'm like, so do you like Arby's? What's your favorite fast food sandwich? Do you like it out here even though it's hot all the time? Why am I doing a version of my own voice? Why don't I just do my voice?
You just talk to them for the first 15 minutes and then eventually the conversation dwindles and then you have the rest of your massage in silence.
Yeah.
I don't know, you guys. I am spending so much time trying to breathe and not like drool all over the place that I'm literally fighting for my life. I can't.
Did you ever fart it?
Not about farting. Like, literally breathe, like, when I'm face down, like, my sinus, like, everything goes up into my sinuses. That's probably a deviated septum. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But, like, I'm like that. And then my mouth either dries out or it's, like, all the spit that I've ever had in my entire life is, like, rushing out of my mouth. So I'm like, that's what's happening. And I'm like, and then inside my head, I'm like, relax, relax, relax. This is relaxing. Relax, relax. Until about like an hour into, that's why I have to always book 2-hour massages. Cause it takes me an hour to just like not have a full panic attack.
I at a certain point in the massage, I'm like, oh, is it almost over now? I wish it wasn't over. Like, this is the part where the hands are getting massaged. That feels nice. But it also feels like as soon as the hand, the waves of like, just sort of like, all right, I'm maintaining contact with you, but that I'm like, no, stop. There's more, please. I need more. Do you want me to talk to you more? Will that extend this if I ask you how the traffic was getting here? So anyway, this
you
coupon
should get a
books. Yeah. At some point. I will at some point.
Yeah. But I'm sorry, your spouse is not going to give you a massage like
no.
that. It's going to be like 15 minutes of them being like, squeeze, squeeze, squeeze. And then like they did not go to masseuse school. They don't know how to use their body weight instead of all of their hand strength because you just get tired.
Yep.
See, now that's a gift you get them. Massage school.
I got you a full ride gift. To massage school. To Burke Williams Massage School. I'm going to teach you exactly how many oranges, lemons, and cucumbers to put in a pitcher of water. That's part of it.
Oh, my God.
I really appreciated the Joseph's scoring of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
As it is a Desert Bluffs episode, we get Joseph Fink making the muzak.
On the axe.
Oh, I forget about that. Yes.
Yep. So it's nice to hear. There's a little singing he did in this episode. Mm-hmm. Some accordion, guitar. It's nice.
Sometimes he really gets into it, huh? He gets like, he's like, oh yeah, you know what? He put his voice on the last episode and he's putting his guitar on here.
Joseph's in there.
I call all guitars guitars, so don't at me.
Yeah, I wish Joseph had a guitar. Maybe I'll get him one. If he's good, I'll get him one.
Only if you also get him a keyboard necktie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Then one.
Of course.
And a blazer that with 3/4 length sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just make sure. He would have to play it like really high. Guitar, guitar. Anyways, so as our story is coming to a head, we find like we have this weird family, right? Family dynamic, but they always look not happy, and everybody's like, "You look pretty unhappy," and they're like, "But I'm happy," right? But they're apparently not really happy. Then the smiling God comes, which is weird and messed up. And then she cut herself a smile and then chased her family to cut them a smile too. Look, that's some Joker shit. And it always makes me think of that, like, penultimate, like Batman, but Jack Nicholson Joker, because he kind of, that smile is like, I don't like that.
See, I think of Heath Ledger doing it. Well, now I got these scars. Because he tore his face open smiling for the smiling God.
Yeah. No, that's right.
He never
right.
tells the story Yikes. Of All Smiles Eve in that movie. Maybe he should have. Maybe that's the real story that he won't tell.
That's Jason.
He's Jason. Jason is the Joker.
Jason, the Joker.
See, Todd Phillips, what? I told you that movie was
did
wrong.
Did we just discover something?
Yeah, we did. You did.
we sure did.
Oh.
Wow. See? Journalism.
Ooh. Where's our Pulitzer?
Look, I hope someone is recording this because nope. This is some good stuff.
I unplugged everything an hour ago.
I've just been talking to a wall this whole time.
None of us actually exist.
None of us are real. Neither are you. The smile thing, though, I'm like, that's very upsetting. Because we were talking about this, but like you're like, I can feel like how it would feel to like, cut your face. We're all trying to smile as big as we can right now. Here we go. See if you can hear it, audience.
You can probably hear my jaw clicking because of my TMJ.
Oh, I just did too. Oh, I don't like this.
That's why I got Botox in my masseter, because I was grinding my teeth so much it was giving me headaches.
I should do that. I really should.
It really helped. And my jaw doesn't click anymore.
Oh, man. I really should. Mine's so bad. Yeah.
But later on we learn, and they were devoured once they, you know, cut their smiles bigger. We learn later that joy is in your teeth, and that's all you have to know.
You got to leave shards of glass and bloody tooth shoelaces. Every small smile is Eve.
Smile.
Up next, we hear from fans and friends at the podcast about their theories, comments, and questions. But first, a conversation about this episode's weather, which was Fast Talker by AJ and the Good Intentions.
Wow. What a raw recording, but like a lovely voice. It just made me feel like it was like I was in the room with somebody sing, like, be like, hey, I just wrote this song. And then they play the song, like an unplugged version. You know what I mean? And I enjoyed it. Yeah, I thought it was really good.
That's their process.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
This is AJ recorded this with an out-of-tune guitar and an iPhone in their apartment.
Nice. See, you don't need fancy equipment to record good music, record anything.
To make music.
Really. I'm recording mine into a tin can phone. True. That's how I do this podcast and all my podcasts. They're up on me.
I just yell into a tube called the internet.
I just hold my hands up like I'm in an old-timey phone. With a crank.
Banana phone.
Operator, banana give me phone. Podcasts.
Podcast 292. 4-7 East.
Sometimes when I'm playing with Iris, I pretend that her feet are an old-timey phone that I need to be connected from one foot to the other. Operator, hello.
Hello, operator.
Hello, operator. Is Iris's right foot? Can I please? Hold, please. She loves it.
I would love that too.
Do you know what I would love?
Yeah. What would that be, Hal?
A hot piping fresh out of the oven, melt your mouth, calzone, that is a fan zone one.
Melt your mouth with hot caramel and acid and melting plastic all till your mouth is cut open so you can smile. That's the All Smiles Eve calzone.
Stay right there. Good Morning Night Vale will return after a brief break.
Here we go. We're into it. JP writes to us, to Meg, Symphony, and Hal. I've been listening to Welcome to Night Vale off and on since 2014, having only recently caught up. I'm writing today, July 9th, 2022, about episode 120, All Smiles Eve. One of the neat quirks of Night Vale's bi-monthly schedule is that every December episodes come out on my birthday, like this one, which premiered on December 15th, 2017. In this episode, I believe we are fully introduced to the smiling God who devours the good family, making them pure, and sending them, I suppose, to some joyous afterlife, only to return once every year to find those who do not smile and help them smile. This and the Amazon-esque all-consuming corporatism of Strex Corp reminds me of the commercialization of Christmas, how the holiday seems to become every year, starting on midnight November 1st, a big, gaudy green and red display of greed and excess. But enough of my rambling. My question for y'all is, if not for All Smiles Day or Bloodstone Day, how would the citizens of Nightvale or Desert Bluffs celebrate Christmas or Hanukkah? What macabre traditions might they entail? Thank you. Thanks for and congratulations on 10 years of bringing this beautiful and strange world to life, JP. Thank you, JP. How would they celebrate Christmas? I think that they would have the most normcore Christmas with like, just like, I feel like Nightvale Christmas is just like the most normcore as like there's a Christmas pageant at the school. There's Christmas trees. There's a tree lighting in the center of town. There's that's what I think. I think it's just the most normcore thing. Except, of course, that they celebrate it in July.
I feel that Nightvale might not even really celebrate Christmas like that. Like, it's like a minor holiday. It'd be like the same way people celebrate, like, President's Day or something. You know, you might have it off work, you know, but it's not like Chris must what? That's, you know. I don't know. I just feel like maybe they have so many other days that are much more important than it. It's like a minor holiday.
I think in the Nightvale version of A Charlie Brown Christmas, Snoopy devours all the children, and then he and Woodstock transcend into beings of pure energy.
Wow.
Emma writes, "Hi, Symphony, Hal, and Meg. I was listening to today's new episode, and Cecil talked about some art museums like MoMA having weird things, which made me think of the coolest art museum I've ever been to. In Massachusetts, there is a museum called Massachusetts MoCA, Museum of Contemporary Art. I remember I went there on a trip with one of my art classes from college, and I was steadily making my way through Welcome to Nightvale as a somewhat new listener. I was on episodes 117, Hegemony Part 1, and ended with 120, All Smiles Eve, when we were walking through the museum. This museum is perfect for listening to Welcome to Nightvale while exploring. To begin with, MoCA used to be an old textile building. So it's this twisting maze of stairs and warehouse areas and balconies, and the space is kind of awesome and spooky. When I was there, the main exhibit was called Into the Dark, and the entire gallery space was dark except for spotlights on the art. In MoCA, you can just kind of go wherever you want as long as there isn't a sign that says you can't. So I walked into this little barely lit hallway. It was nearly pitch black, and the artist there had two scale photorealistic paintings of peepholes. Listening to Kevin and Lauren talk about All Smiles Eve while I walked deeper and deeper into darkness with nothing but these paintings of peepholes looking at me was a wonderfully creepy experience. There was also a really narrow set of stairs, and at first, I wasn't sure if I was allowed to go up them. But when I did, I found myself in a studio space that wasn't connected to the rest of the building. I remember there were art pieces involving horsehair, and when you went into this one area, there were videos playing with people wearing assorted animal skulls as masks, which definitely reminded me of Huntakar. There was also the massive installation Anthropology of Another Possible Future by artist Liz Glynn. The whole thing made me think of the Blood Space War and how time is weird in Nightvale. But the thing that really made me think of Nightvale was this one storage container. Inside were five monitors, and all of them were playing a broadcast at the same volume simultaneously, but they were all different broadcasts, so you couldn't make anything out. But the fifth screen was much bigger, and it showed just a lot of mist. Every so often, a person would walk onto the screen, turn towards the viewer, then turn and walk into the mist and vanish. I stayed there for a while, and I don't remember seeing the same person twice. The last thing I think you would all find cool is the whispering hallway. There's a very dimly lit hallway that slopes up, and at the time, it popped you out at the Cosmic Latte installation. The hallway itself was also an art piece. As you walked up the tunnel, little, barely there whispers would kind of slither around you. Sorry this was so long. Never apologize for the length of your letters. Have any of you ever been to Mass MoCA? And if not, have you been to a similarly cool and weird art museum? Also, since I know you talk about food a lot, I want you to know their cafeteria had amazing coffee. I got the Mass MoCA Mocha, and it was absolutely fabulous. Best wishes, sincerely, Emma E. Mm. I'm trying to think of a weird museum. There's nothing that's popping into my head. I know I've been to weird installations and seen things probably at LACMA, Los Angeles Contemporary Museum, Los Angeles County Museum of Art. Their contemporary area is really cool. And I know I've seen lots of weird and kind of wonderful things there. But in terms of the whole space itself being sort of a piece of art in that way, there's nothing that's popping to mind. What about either of you?
Yeah. When I was in Amsterdam, I went to the theater museum, and it was basically, I felt like I was in a haunted house. It was like you kind of went through by yourself. You had headphones on, and like you would hear stuff. Stuff would move in the room. Doors would open. And there was one part that I was in like a dark area. And I'm, as many of you know, I am very afraid of the dark. So I kind of freaked out in there because it was doing creepy stuff. And I busted out of there somehow. Some door I wasn't supposed to go out of. And I just like went outside. And then I waited for Cecil outside until he got done. And he was like, oh, it was really cool. Like you went through that. And I was like, no. Because if I'm with somebody else, I can be a little bit more brave. But I was scared. I was also 19, so, or 20. Or what about you, Meg?
Yeah, I've been to a bunch of weird shit over the years. I'm trying to think. There's the New Museum in New York City, which occasionally has some interesting things. I remember as a kid, I went to the Montclair Museum of Art. And there was a cheese that like had long hair growing out of it. I remember that as like my first.
A cheese?
It was like a block of cheese that they had like long hairs growing out of. And that was like sort of my first exposure to weird art. I saw the Marina Abramović thing, her like, what's it called? Retrospective, which basically she took over the whole museum and with all her different various exhibits. And that was a wild time. Yeah.
Wow. That sounds cray cray. Up next, we have Jay. Jay writes, hey, y'all, I've been wanting to write in for quite some time now, but I never really had anything substantial to share. I have finally gathered enough snippets of ideas and comments that I feel justified sending an email. So my apologies for the disjointed nature of this message. No, we appreciate that you took notes and then compiled things. I appreciate you, Jay. One. I have been listening to Good Morning Night Vale since the moment y'all started releasing it. And now I probably listen to it more than Welcome to Night Vale, at least as far as the new episodes go. I tend to re-listen to old Welcome to Night Vale episodes. I don't know if anyone else does this, but I tend to listen to different podcasts for different activities, regardless of the content of the podcast. You guys are my cooking/preparing food podcast, and you never, ever discuss anything that makes me regret that decision. Oh, well, good, I guess. Welcome to Night Vale is my going for a late night walk to smoke weed podcast. Or my brother and me, depending on the vibe. Mm-hmm. I feel that. Two, episode 120, All Smiles Eve. This is my favorite episode, hands down. It's the one I go back to again and again. Something about Kevin just makes me so satisfied in the way that only someone's favorite character can. I also really love the story. And as someone who was raised in a rather religious environment, I love listening to media about fictional regions and trying to see where the author got their inspiration. Often, the devil is in the details. The way the character will say a specific word or casually rush past something that seems absolutely batshit to the uninitiated. Now, I am a not very established dancer/choreographer in Vancouver, BC, and I've always wanted to use the audio from this episode in a solo. I finally started that process of that in September, and I have included a video of my first informal showing peer critique of it. It is very rough and my balance is bad, but I personally am proud of the lot of it. I hope you enjoy it and don't decide to sue me. And I will let you know if I ever try to perform it for realsies.
It's really cool.
It is cool.
Yeah.
The clear mask is also kind of cool.
Yeah, so you can see the smiles. So
you can see the facial expressions. I didn't know what it was at first. I thought it was like a head mic, but then I realized.
But yeah, incredibly captivating.
Yeah.
JP, so cool. Sorry, Jay. You're Jay.
Oh, wow.
I apologize. Jay, so cool.
Jay, amazing. That's really wonderful. Thank you for sharing that with us. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Up next, we will talk about episode 121, A Story of Love and Horror, Part 1, Barks. Until then, good morning, Night Vale. Good morning.
Good Morning Night Vale is a Night Vale Presents production. It is hosted by Symphony Sanders, Meg Bashwinner, and Hal Lublin. It is edited by Felicia Dominguez and mixed by Vincent Cascione. It is produced by Meg Bashwinner. Theme music by Disparition. Email us at info@goodmorningnightvale.com to share your theories and ask questions or to tell us how you plan to celebrate All Smiles Eve this year. This show is powered by our patrons like Jen Riegler, James Lee, Hannah Jones, Greg Stovall, and Freya. If you're interested in supporting this show in exchange for lots of fun, exclusive, insider, hyper cool kid content, check us out at patreon.com/goodmorningnightvale. For more info on this show, go to goodmorningnightvale.com and follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at Night Vale Chat. Special thanks to Joella Knapp, Jeffrey Craner, and Joseph Fink. Calzone ingredient of the week is new car smell and old car taste.
They say you shouldn't meet your heroes. I'm Joseph Fink, and I'd like to introduce you to I Only Listen to the Mountain Goats, the show where I meet my hero and have conversations about songwriting, art, and life.
This podcast is going to be weird for me because I'm proud of what I do, but I always try to change the subject if people tell me that my stuff is good.
I Only Listen to the Mountain Goats. Find it wherever you listen to podcasts.